flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Lions figure to be in Super Bowl contention for the foreseeable future. To get it done, do they simply stay the course? Or is it time to F them picks? Get a little more aggressive. We know they called about Max Crosby last November, as per Dave Burkett of the Free Press. And John, that's the camp I'm in. They fell short this year, according to Brad Holmes himself. And they didn't win the Super Bowl the year before with a 17-point lead in the NFC title game. These are missed opportunities. They're set up in a way where they're going to keep this core together without any cap manipulation for the next two seasons. Starting in 2026, Sewell's deal gets to be bigger. Goff's deal may need to be restructured. St. Brown's deal will be on the books. At that point, they'll have to have made a decision on Laporta and Jamo, Joseph and Branch. You get where I'm going here. Like, in the next 2 years, though, everybody's going to be here without any tough decisions, really. Why not try to add a premier player like Max Crosby to give yourself the best chance to win a Super Bowl the next two seasons so that you don't squander 25 and all what if and 26 and what if. And then you have those decisions where you may lose a player or two. Everybody deals with the cap. Kansas City couldn't keep Tyreek Hill. The idea that Lions fans are in this period of bliss that they'll keep everybody forever, I don't think is accurate. So while you do have a little bit of a cushion here in the cap, and while you do have a team capable of winning a Super Bowl, I think it would be wise to do everything you can to chase that championship.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to be able to look at this. And so if they do say, you know, quote unquote, F them picks, and they go get Max Crosby, and they don't have two first round picks for the next 2 years, do we still believe Brad Holmes can draft well in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth rounds?
Kirby Joseph in the third, Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth. Even Mahogany looked good in the sixth.
Right, and you're going to get compensatory picks for Aaron Glenn the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. So you're back in the third round.
Yeah.
And I don't buy into the, oh, well, he traded his third round pick because he knew that Aaron Glenn was going to head coaching job.
No.
But it's part of the way the NFL is set up right now. Yeah. Sure, there is that confidence that he can still find talent. Can you reliably count on all pro talent in the fourth round or the fifth or sixth round? I don't think so. You know, you're gonna find some diamonds in the rough. Did he just hit the oil well early in his picking, or is that going to be the trend of Brad Holmes where you can count on an all pro in the fourth round?
If you're going to keep hitting on all pros in the fourth, then even more reason to give up a first to try to win now. And if you're not going to hit on all pros in the third and fourth round moving forward, all the more reason to strike while the iron's hot and you have those guys on the roster. I don't know. I'm certainly not going to imply that Brad Holmes doesn't know what he's doing. Okay, he's back-to-back executive of the year. If they simply stay the course, they will be Super Bowl contenders in 25 and 26. And if he manipulates the cap, maybe 27 and 28 and so on and so forth. But you don't want to just be a contender. You want to be a Super Bowl winner. And you want to know that you're doing everything you can to win the Super Bowl, especially after heartbreak. 248-539-9797. Where do you guys sit? He says stay the course, says he doesn't believe in windows, the walls aren't closing in. And even in the F them picks conversation, implied that they want to build through the draft with the caveat, if the player makes sense, they're going to make trades. They traded for Carlton Davis last year. They traded for Za'Darius Smith. Those were thirds and fourths. But he kind of gave himself a little wiggle room saying, well, I am willing to do those things. So that's part of the conversation.
And it could all come down to, you know, what type of draft capital are you giving up and how long are they going to be here? Carlton Davis might only be here for 1 year.
True.
And so, I mean, and I can't remember, what was it they gave up for him? A fourth?
Third.
All right. So are you willing to say, hey, you know, whatever we get out of him for 1 year would be worth the value of a third round pick? And I think for Carlton Davis, you'd say, yeah, I think it was a good trade. You couldn't predict he's going to get hurt at the end of the year. But that's part of the, you know, the exercise that you go through in regards to that, because we've also seen him trade draft capital on draft day to go up and get guys like Broderick Martin. Now, has that worked out?
No.
Not to this point.
And
the jury is certainly still out and will be out on Giovanni Manu. He talked about his development.
Yeah, and I would
but
also,
we haven't seen it.
And I'd also say, like, Levi Onwuzurike, who he loved and who we were really sold on this year, was not a good use of that second round pick. Can we say that? That's not me trying to tear down Brad Holmes, the general manager. It's me painting the picture that not all your picks are going to hit. That's just the reality, even for the best general managers. So would you be willing to give up some of those precious picks to get proven veteran players? Brad Holmes already did it last year with Carlton Davis. Would you just simply up the ante and go for a better player?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's absolutely what should be on the table.
It'll be interesting to see how it all, you know, it plays itself out in regards to.
And he wasn't going to tip his hand fully yesterday anyway.
No, because you still need to have a seller.
Yeah.
And I do believe it all goes to the philosophy. You've got a new general manager at Vegas. You've got a new owner in Vegas. And I know that Tom Brady 100% understands that you can't win unless you have a franchise quarterback. What's the path to that quarterback? And they may be in the same position that the Lions were in when they dealt Matthew Stafford. Like, you've got to have a reset at some point.
Yeah.
And if that reset is, hey, we have no path to a quarterback this year, and we want to tank for next year,
I know what you mean. The players try hard, but the organization sometimes puts one arm behind their back.
Don't give the tools that they need to win. And so if you're willing to say, hey, we don't have a path to a quarterback. What's our path to a quarterback? It's to, you know, get there in the first or second pick next year. We can do that by one of two ways. We can be really awful and just earn it ourselves, or we can accumulate enough draft capital so that if we do end up with the, you know, sixth pick like we have this year, what can we trade? How can we package together enough picks to jump up to one and two? Because I think, and I haven't done the analysis of who the quarterbacks are coming out next year. Can't be any worse than it is this year. I just don't believe Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Quinn Ewers, go through the list of quarterbacks, that there's any quarterback in this draft that I want to sit there and build my franchise around.
I think the reason for the Raiders to consider a Crosby trade is what you said.
It's a reset.
It's a new GM. Crosby's only got 2 years left on his deal. They could always extend him, but they have to ask themselves the serious question. If they can't get a quarterback at six this year, would they like extra first to move up in this year's draft or next year's draft? And I think the answer is yes. And they could set the situation up for their future quarterback with some of those picks if they don't end up trading up. I think there's a case for the Raiders to consider it. And there's certainly a case for the Lions to get back into it. I stress back into it, because Dave Burkett has reported, going back last November, that Brad Holmes was calling. The Lions were calling about Max Crosby.
I have full faith, one, in Brad Holmes as a drafter. I also have full faith that he's going to turn over every stone possible to see what is available. And if Max is available this offseason, he'll say, okay, well, what's the cost? And then they'll do that cost plus analysis and see if it makes sense. And if it doesn't, they won't do it. If it does, they'll make the move. And here's some comments on Twitch. And I think a lot of Detroit sports fans, because this involves more than just the Lions, are waiting for one of these franchises to do that all-in movement or moment. It's Tigers need Bregman, Pistons need Book, Lions need Max. Make it happen. I'm sick of sitting here hoping winning comes to us.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Texter says, can you really have Hutch and Max long term? Well, the beauty of this is Hutch's deal has next year and a fifth year option,
which they'll pick up.
which they would pick up and roll towards an extension. Max Crosby only has 2 years left. You could play the two of them next to each other, and it's fine.
Right.
And if you can't extend Crosby beyond that, oh, gosh darn, we really went all in to win a Super Bowl. Who feels bad about that?
The timing works well for the cap for the Lions.
It does, because then in 26, things start to balloon, and you're going to have to kind of tamp down everything. And they can, but what I don't want to do is lose guys and start kind of playing whack-a-mole in 27 and 28, and they'll do the best they can. Holmes will continue to stock it as best he can, but this may be the richest pool of talent they have because they've drafted all pros in the third and fourth round. So to win it, so do everything you can to win it.
Then the question becomes, all right, you... Because I think we all believe, even if you send J-Mo over, because there was a caller or a texter that had mentioned that earlier, it's still going to require two firsts to get Max Crosby. I don't think there's any world where you're not talking about multiple first-round picks. So if that's the case, you send this year's 28 and next year's hopefully 32. And at that point, because he talked about watering the garden and keeping the offensive lines, you know, stocked with talent, are you confident that Brad Holmes and the Lions, because you're going to have a lot of money committed. Yeah. You're not going to be able to go into free agency and spend a bunch of money on a left tackle, a left guard, right guard, or a center. So are you confident that you can find another Mahogany in the second or third rounds?
The answer is I'm confident in Brad Holmes, which I know is what
Colby Sorsdahl.
Well.
Broderick Martin.
More hits, more big hits than big
sure,
misses.
But not up front.
Yeah.
Aleem McNeil hit. Levi Onwuzurike, no hit.
Right. At simplest terms, yeah. Ticket Texter says, F them picks. He says, that's what we need to do here. Says, staying the course hasn't worked after the last 2 years. F them picks, Tom and Novi. Another F them picks, get Crosby. The aging Jared Sloth has a 2-year window based on his statuesque athleticism, Matt in Heartland.
How quickly
do we turn on him?
We turn.
He's still very good, guys. You got to support him, but he's very good.
How many playoff games did they won? Before Jared Goff?
You know, exactly. I think it's very fair to be critical of the game he played last Saturday.
Yeah, 100%, and
big,
we have been.
The big jumping to conclusions is actually eye-opening. I mean, I know it's a small minority, but...
It's a fickle.
It's a very vocal,
vocal
one.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fickle is what it is.
Who, Luke?
Texas says, staying the course is the way to go. If the defense had stayed healthy, we'd have the best team in the NFL. There's no need to do anything. No need to panic. No need to make a panic trade. Did Kansas City ever F them picks? Don't make desperate decisions because it worked for one team, the Rams. Let us know. We'll get the phones in the mix next. It's 97.1.
Hey, a personal injury of any sort is, in fact, by definition, personal. Injury attorney David Feminino has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney who makes it personal, and that attorney is David Feminino. So if you or someone you know is injured, you need to tell them to call David Feminino right now at 855-65-CRASH. Or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number on website again, 855-65-CRASH, or go to getdavidgetpaid.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's Brad Holmes. Stay the course. F them picks. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. What do you want to see them do this offseason? A couple quick phone calls. John, you said you had like
I got a major concern regarding Max Crosby
and the potential of
potential of how it could affect the Lions in a very impactful negative way.
I don't like that. I'm gonna take the phone calls first.
Okay,
we'll wait on that. Yeah. Sam, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning. Two things. One, I'm on a mix between F them picks and stay the course. They should throw away a couple picks to get someone decent, and then also stay the course. I don't know if that makes
sense. Sam, I think it makes sense, and I think Holmes kind of answered it that way with like, well, I traded for Za'Darius Smith and Carlton Davis. He's given up picks to get veterans. Yeah. He's not opposed to what's not all the way effing them picks.
I don't know,
like courting them picks.
Sure.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah. Sam, but yeah, it's just trying to blend this up. I don't know. Sam.
And then I'm here in Nashville. I miss the I do miss going to the Red Wings games. I've been to one Predators game, but it was very weird for me because they're shouting, we're the Predators, and some guy next to me is like, oh, I'm the number one Predator. It just felt awkward. Thank God the Red Wings are called some dumb name like that.
I hear you. On
I didn't like the hockey game.
And the other thing with the Predators, not that anybody cares right now, but he brought it up. They're kind of like the poor man's Wings. Like, they throw the catfish on the ice. They're starting to build a little bit of a culture. They just don't have the history that we do.
Yeah. Drinking beers off the catfish.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I've seen that. Let's get to Jeremy in Brighton. Jeremy, good morning.
Oh, good morning, fellas. Listen, I wanted to F the picks as soon as Hutch went down and Davenport. This past year was the year that we should have went all in, and you make the Godfather offer, which has been brought up on this station many a time. But the reason that you really want to F the picks, one, you're picking late in the first round, but two, these college kids are going to stay longer in college because they're making more money. So if there is any time that you want to dump picks, this would be the time, because some talent is going to stay in college that you want because they're just simply going to make more money. So build through rounds 3 and 4 or whatever it is, but make some Godfather offers and get rid of those late first-round picks. I don't see value. We need immediate impact players now. You don't know if Hutch is going to be the same, and you don't know who's going to be here. So I think we need some more speed at linebacker, defensive end, and I don't know what happened to DJ Reader, but you got to go make some Godfather moves and get dump these picks, and I'll die on that hill.
Jeremy, I tend to be with you.
So regarding his take on guys staying in college because they can make more money there, which I understand, it's also another year of development. So if a guy is going to stay in college for another year, you might be able to find somebody, you will be able to find somebody in the third, fourth, fifth round that is more developed, that you don't have to wait another year for them to be ready at this level. They're doing more of that in college if they're making that choice where, hey, I get the results back from the NFL, the committee that gives feedback to college players whether you should leave or not. And it says, hey, I'm going to be somewhere third, fourth, fifth, middle round, day two, early day three. Well, and it says, well, if you do this, this, and this, maybe you'll be a, late day two pick. All right, well, I can make a lot of money here. I'm going to be able to develop and I'll still be a late day two pick. So your seconds and thirds may be a little bit further along as we get further down this NIL transfer portal era.
And maybe one of those unintended consequences.
Yeah.
All right, where are you at with this Crosby thing? Because I brought it up. Holmstead inquired in November. I said it should absolutely be on the table still. You have a two-year window here with everybody still on the same contracts or controllable.
So I'm going to ask you to use a little bit of what that caller said there as well, the Godfather offer.
Yeah.
So when you make when you know somebody's on the market, and let's just use Max Crosby, you also have to do the analysis of, because you're not going to know what other people are offering. You know, the Raiders may ultimately say, well, to do this, you know, this will get it done, but you don't know what you're up against all the time. You also have to look around the league and say, well, who has more to offer than we do? And the easy answer is somebody with higher draft picks that would be able to offer that. How about somebody with a quarterback that might be able to give the Raiders what they want and to reset their franchise, almost a Goff type of trade?
So you're saying if the world where Crosby is crowing and it's known and he's on the market, that Detroit would simply just be outbid?
Yeah. So
unless he angles, he'd have to be the bad guy.
So my concern is, what if it's even somebody in division where the Raiders say, you know what, we could win, maybe not win at all, but we could win enough to then finally, to bide our time. We could get our bridge quarterback, which we thought Goff was going to be here, in a Sam Darnold or a J.J. McCarthy. And they're willing to send a quarterback along with a couple of picks. And now all of a sudden, before you know it, you've got Max Crosby not only in the conference, but in division. And we're going to have to face him twice every year.
I would not like that as much, John.
But that's the concern.
I know.
Is do you have enough to actually offer that Godfather offer? An offer they can't refuse, where somebody else just ups the ante and says, well, I have a quarterback that I could give. We have two of them. We're going to franchise one, use them as trade bait. And if you like one or the other, you can have either one you want.
Puts you in a tough spot. Last ticket text on this. And I think this is so indicative of where we are. Are we really settling for just one Super Bowl? Are we not hungry for more than just one? The lack of ambition here is disgusting. John, do you want to tell him, or should I tell
him? Go for it.
We haven't won one yet. Can't win two until you win one. Can't win three until you win two. You may never win one. That's just the harsh reality of football. Yeah. Dan Campbell told you that after the NFC title game.
You might have a rash of injuries on one side of the ball.
You don't know what unknowns are awaiting. And while
you might have a bad day.
Exactly. So rather than try to win three Super Bowls, I would suggest they try to win one first. Crazy, I know. All right, we got the cookie jar coming up at 9:35, including the question, which drivers are worse in the snow, too fast or too slow? That and more. First, Heather with the news.
Well, I've got some Super Bowl halftime news. SZA will be joining Kendrick Lamar during his halftime performance. On Thursday, Apple Music released this little teaser showing him walking out on this football field before she runs up behind him and kind of gives him a Gatorade bath. Blue Gatorade dumps all over him. This is not, it's a surprise. We had no idea, but not a huge surprise because they have been longtime collaborators. They used to be on the same label. They have created songs together. They're going to go on a tour together this spring and summer. So exciting for sure. Not so exciting, I guess, that the Lions won't be in the Super Bowl, but two Michigan puppies will be in the Puppy Bowl.
Oh, wow.
So very exciting there. This year's Puppy Bowl features 142 rescue puppies from 80 shelters across 40 states and two countries, including a pair of Michigan pups, Rory from Muskegon and Trixie from Harbor Springs. Yeah, it's great news. So on Sunday, February 9th at 2 p.m., you can watch Team Ruff and Team Fluff face off for a chance to win the Lombarki Trophy.
At the risk of ruining the moment, not on the edge of my seat with excitement.
No, I mean, not at all, but it's done great things to bring awareness to rescuing animals and getting these dogs great homes. So that is exciting. You can tune in or not, but
this is like
the 21st Puppy Bowl, so people, it's doing good things.
It's had some staying power for dog lovers.
Yes.
It's just not going to soften the blow from the Lions.
No, it's not. Not at all. I know. But, you know, good job to Rory and Trixie for making it.
Good luck to Rory and Trixie.
Exactly. Buffalo Oh, Buffalo. I'm sorry. Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, you're
tight
still
end.
On picks, aren't you?
No, this is involves the Bills, so it's here. But Baltimore Ravens tight end Mark Andrews has broken his silence following their loss against the Bills on Sunday. And he went on Instagram, and we all know why he went viral. And people were just bombarding him with just awful things,
hate
right?
Him.
Like, yeah, your contract should be over. You suck. Just a lot of hate. Well, he jumped on Instagram on Thursday and wrote a really lengthy post. And he said that he was just absolutely gutted by what happened. And he's devastated for his teammates, for his coaches, for all of the Ravens fans. And he did also discuss, though, the positive support that he's been getting, yeah, specifically from Bills Mafia, who created this big GoFundMe account. You guys, it's raised over $125,000. Wow. Now, it's not for Andrews. It's for his charity that, yeah, supports juvenile diabetes, because he is a type 1 diabetic, and he has talked about that experience. So it's pretty cool, and he does go on to address that, and he thanks everybody for that support. And he says, despite the negativity, I've seen heartfelt love and encouragement, including those who have generously donated to the Breakthrough T1D organization. Says, even when the moment seems darkest, perspective can reveal that there's still a lot of light in this world. So,
good for him.
Thanked everybody who's stepped, yeah, up there, which is pretty incredible.
Can we acknowledge we're all pulling for the Bills at this point? Like, they're the long-suffering team in the playoffs. Lions can't win it. Their fans do this stuff all the time. Well, I know you're wearing your Washington Legends hat, but can the rest of us acknowledge the Bills are the team to root for?
And now John knows he's wearing it too. So,
yes, I have been made aware.
One quick last story. You can win or get paid $1,000 to go to Costco and taste their Super Bowl snacks.
Oh,
pretty easy.
That sounds great.
So there's a site that wants to hire somebody to try 20 different snacks from Costco. They're going to pay you $1,000 to do it, and they're going to give you a $500 gift card so you can go and buy the snacks at home. They're calling it the Sideline Sampler Side Hustle, and things like the wings, pizza, mini tacos, mozzarella sticks, a whole bunch more. All you have to do is make them, try them. You have to take pictures of them, write a brief description, and then rate them by how good they are and how easy they were to make. Simple as that.
That sounds easy, yeah.
You get fed and get paid.
Uh-huh.
You can sign up online.
Where do I go?
It's by Finance Buzz, probably. Oh, okay. financebuzz.com.
Use Google, yeah, find it out.
Yeah.
There you go. Heather with the news. Coming up next, it's the cookie jar. It's 97.1. It's Friday. It's the cookie jar, and it's brought to you by Moran Chevrolet, where you always get the best price, period. Six questions. The first, which drivers are worse to deal with in the snow? The people who go way too fast or the people who are hugging the steering wheel going way too slow?
Both have their risky behaviors and put you in a bad position. I think it's the slow drivers that are the worst. I think it's those, especially when there's just a little bit of snow. They're driving and they got their emergency flashers on. And so you know they're going slow, but it's when you come up on them and it is safe to travel at a little bit of a faster clip. It's all the people that aren't necessarily paying close enough attention that have to slam on their brakes or change lanes to get around this individual.
Heather?
There is nothing worse than a slow driver in the middle or left lane.
Oh, yeah.
Get over, stay in your right lane, drive all the speed you want to drive, slow and steady, fine, but don't drive slow in the other lanes. This happened to me the other day. It was like last week, Friday, when we got dumped on. The roads were awful, and somebody got off an exit onto 75 right in the middle lane and went like 5 miles an hour, and I had to not slam on my brakes. Yeah. I wasn't going that fast, but I had to brake, which then caused me to start like fishtailing. Like, no, stay over. Slow, yes, drivers in the snow are the worst. They're the worst.
Consensus behind the glass. Too fast, too slow. Who's worse?
The slowers. I mean, the faster are more dangerous, but they usually just move on and you never see what potentially happens, yeah, to them, unless you do see what happens, which in the ditch, like a mile up the road. But the thing, Heather's nailed it. They stay in the farthest right cleared lane. If you're going slow, the guy that's in the middle lane going slow in the right lane's clear because you want to be in the middle lane. So you stop the most possible outcome of you going off the road. Like, that's the person that drives me nuts.
Okay, but the slow driver is easiest to avoid. They are going the slowest.
Not when they jump out. No.
They're
not
crawling.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The fast driver is going
to
do more damage.
You have to slam on to them and potentially an accident ahead of you.
Right.
Let them do their thing. Let them go by you in the left lane and be on their way.
Today is National Peanut Butter Day. Simple question. Crunchy or smooth?
Oh, I think this one's easy. Smooth. I don't like the crunchy peanut butter, especially some of the natural ones that you can get. Those are to me good, but they're not, they don't have the crunchy, the big pieces.
Crunchy peanut butter is gross.
I wouldn't call it gross. I would just prefer
it's kind of gross.
Smooth.
Yeah, smooth.
All right. I'm a weirdo. I'm a spicy garlic guy. I don't like peanut butter.
You don't at all?
No.
Like,
you are weird.
And I'll eat peanuts.
What about like a Reese's peanut butter cup?
No.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Okay, you firmly in the weird category.
I know.
Huh.
Greg?
Crunchy straight out of the jar.
Oh, no, Greg.
One in every crowd.
Uh-huh.
Sweet or savory for breakfast?
This one's tough. Can I say both?
No.
I would say savory. I'd prefer my dessert to be at night, and the cinnamon roll, it's really hard to pass up a cinnamon roll, but when you've got good bacon and eggs, sausage gravy, biscuits, like, that's the home run at breakfast.
Give me the sugar all day
yeah,
long.
I could see that one
load
coming.
It with syrup, give me sugary cereal, the cinnamon rolls, the pastries. Mm-hmm. I'll take it all.
Best cinnamon roll, best breakfast place for a cinnamon roll.
We always go to a place in Clarkston, Brioni's.
Oh, okay.
They have great savory breakfast too, which I get, but they have good baked goods as well.
Okay.
And this is a classic debate. You sit down, and while I love a good French toast, and that can tend to be sweeter, I feel like breakfast for breakfast, dollar for dollar, I'm going savory more than I'm going sweet. Like a hash with like the potatoes and the bacon and the eggs.
It's
and
it's got to be the shredded
sausage.
Hash, though. It can't be the chunky potatoes.
Oh, I like the chunky potatoes.
Yeah, figured.
Definitely savory. The French toast. You got the sausage, links, or patties.
Yeah.
Either one is good.
Okay. I'm a patty guy.
Bacon and pancakes cooked with the bacon grease.
Mm. Uh-huh.
Okay. What's the best kitchen gadget you own?
So I had a question about this. What classifies as a gadget?
Just say it.
Now that we've moved to our new house, we have a bigger kitchen, more storage. I have more access to my cast irons, and I exclusively cook in my cast iron pans. I love them. It's a healthy way to cook. You don't have as many chemicals.
Yeah.
And now that they have been properly seasoned over and over again, they are nonstick. Love, absolutely love my cast irons.
Does that count? I think it counts.
Sure.
That's fine.
Yeah. Thank you.
I don't have a lot of kitchen gadgets. I don't do a lot in the kitchen. Like, my first thought was like the toaster.
Is it a fancy toaster?
No, it's not. It's just a regular old toaster.
But if you love your toaster, you'll love your toaster.
Or the blender. Okay. I blend things and toast things the most.
Okay.
I mean, outside of the oven or stove.
Right.
Well, if you blend things, then do you have like a Ninja?
Yes, I do.
Then that's your counts. That's
it. There you go.
Yeah.
But I use the toaster more, so.
I didn't say which appliance do you use the most, or gadget do you use the most. What's your best?
The air fryer.
Oh, the best?
Does air fryer count?
Air fryer is the greatest invention in many, many years. I love it. It cooks everything so well. It warms things. Like, you can put pizza in it and warm it up good. It's so good. Like, stuff like mozzarella sticks for the kids.
Yeah.
It tastes just like the restaurant.
I agree. It's wonderful. Our oven came with a little air fryer kit. And we air fry it right in that now, and it's terrific.
Don't laugh.
Oh, I will.
A nugget ice maker. Where you get that crunchy ice.
Are those
for your
those
beverages?
Like little pebbles kind of?
Yeah. We've got the countertop ice maker as well. Yeah. Get the little cubes.
Yeah.
Well done. Anna got one for Christmas. She wanted one for Christmas.
And
we have one, and it is a huge hit.
Yeah.
I love that.
And she stopped hogging it now. She's sharing it.
Oh.
You know, kids hog their Christmas presents and
don't
want to share.
Yeah.
That's funny.
For the rest of your life, you can only use one. Forks or spoons?
I think this, for me, this one's easy. It's got to be a fork, because there's, if there's anything that needs a spoon, cereal, the last bit of milk at the bottom, or even cereal, like I could pick up the bowl and just pour it in. I'll take a fork because I can't eat a steak with a spoon.
Okay. To me, it's got to be the spoon, because anything, like complete opposite, anything you can eat with a fork, you can use a spoon for, but you can't use a fork for things you need a spoon for. So you got to just go with the spoon. For cereal, for things like soup. Like,
pick up the bowl. Why do you even need a spoon? Pick up the bowl and pour it in.
Because I'm not a savage. I don't know, John.
Now, if you were going to say, okay, you don't need a fork because the foods that you use a fork for could be finger foods, like I could get behind that, but you don't, you're not a savage. You couldn't possibly use your fingers to eat.
Like, if you're eating a pasta, you want to pierce the noodle, right?
Well, you
use it a food that you need both for.
A spaghetti noodle, you could cut it and spoon it if you had to.
But things you want
to
pierce, a cut of meat, you want to pierce. Yes. A pasta, you want to pierce.
Okay. Yes. What about all the things you need a spoon for? You're just not going to eat it?
I will do without soup if that's what this comes to.
Yeah, pick it up and pour it. I mean, cereal? It's easy. That's the easy one.
I eat cereal every day.
I never eat cereal.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I had cereal.
For little kids.
Heather's hitting you guys on a technicality, because what you said's right. You can use a spoon for things. You can't eat soup without a spoon.
Right.
It's going to seep through. However, I can guarantee very little in life. But I can guarantee you this. There is no way in heck that John Jansen would ever eat a piece of steak with a spoon.
No question. No.
There's absolutely 100%. No way.
There's no way. First of all, it's impossible. No, I'd use my fingers.
You could use the spoon and use the knife and get it cut still. I can't picture John Jansen picking up a piece of meat with a spoon.
No, I would use my fingers and I would just change the steak I got. I'd get the tomahawk and then it comes with its own handle.
What about the spork?
Sporks are great.
Cheater.
We got sporks as a wedding gift. Sporky. Awesome.
Yeah. Was that Toy Story 3 or 4 or whatever it is? Yeah.
Last one. We have two show birthdays this month. What's the best birthday you've ever had?
My best birthday, this one's easy, was when I turned 30. And on my birthday, the best birthday present I ever got was my firstborn.
Aww.
Lucy. Lucy was born, so she will turn 19 on January 28th.
I know it was right last year, John.
That's correct. What was last year?
January 28th, 2024.
Is that the day that the Lions lost?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh. There's been some bad events happen on the 28th. We lost the space shuttle.
That was a WTF year.
Yeah, it was.
You went there, not me. Yeah. So this is like your best birthday experience.
It could be an adult. Yeah, whatever.
Does it have to be on the day? The next day. I mean, so... my dad took me a doubleheader, 1984 Tigers. Oh, wow. Second game, Gibby hit a walk-off to win the game, and it hit the facing of the third deck. And I can still hear that noise in my head. Priceless.
While you were at the game, I was being born.
On January or June 28th?
No, but in 1984, okay. You know. Not during that exact
over.
Game, but
yeah. Wrap it up.
Stop talking, Heather.
My 21st, probably, or 30th.
Okay,
it's like she's at the award show. Get off the stage.
Get her off.
I would say there we go.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, Jim's talking again.
There we go. Hey, my 30th birthday. It was a surprise party. You guys were invited, didn't go. Greg was there, and it was awesome. Kelsey had my favorite. Pizza, cookies. Mm. She had a custom Red Wing jersey made that said cookies with 93, my birth year. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Greg was there. I remember.
I think that's my favorite birthday, too.
All right. That's the cookie jar. It's 97.1. We got Carson Anderson coming up in less than 10 minutes. I want to share an observation from last night's Red Wing game, but first, some of your ticket texts reacting to the cookie jar. Fast drivers are the worst. You don't know if the person had issues with the weather previously or if they have issues with their car.
What? Huh? Issues with their car? Like their brakes don't work when it snows?
Then there's two votes for the slow drivers being the real problem in the winter. How about slow drivers just stay home until the coast is clear? And slow drivers are more dangerous. If you're afraid to drive, stay home, Dave, in Redford.
Yeah, if you're afraid to drive, or if you're afraid to drive and be on the highway, then take some side roads.
Yeah.
There's plenty of mile roads and half mile roads that you can take.
Leary in North Beach says crunchy peanut butter is the way to go. Mm. Smooth peanut butter. A lot on the utensils.
Oh.
Heather, eat a plate of spaghetti with a spoon. Go ahead. Tell us how it goes.
Yeah. Impossible.
I don't think it's impossible. It wouldn't be.
With a spoon? Okay, spaghetti with a spoon.
I could get spaghetti on a spoon. Would it be difficult? Yes. Impossible? No.
It's going to slide off every time. You can't even twirl it.
Eat soup with a fork. That's impossible.
I could pick up the bowl.
Pick up a plate of spaghetti
and try and eat that.
In a mug.
Or you could eat it like Jack does sometimes. Just stick your face right in it.
Heather, real Italians do it with the spoon and they twist it.
With a fork.
Yes.
Yeah, so you need both. That's why I said you need both.
Yes. This one, place in Brighton has cinnamon roll French toast. It's incredible.
Oh, yes.
Must try. Adam at work, we did the sweet and savory debate.
Yeah.
And John says chicken and waffles, the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Sweet and savory.
Yeah. Well, okay. That's not the
cheating
choice. It's either or.
You got to pick. Hey, these people not understand how it goes.
Listen to the question.
Spoon and a fork, there's a sweet place and called, savory. Come on, guys.
I can't remember if it's Annie's Kitchen or Ann's Kitchen.
There's a bunch in West Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a handful here. And I know there's one in Ann Arbor. There's one, I think it's in Canton. And they do, it's a plate-sized, legitimate plate-sized cinnamon roll. And they cut it in half, and in between they put some, it's either cream cheese or just more icing, and then they cover it with, it is phenomenal.
Sounds amazing.
I may have to stop for one on the way home.
John, at the Red Wing game last night, I was there to watch our hockey team, but I also had a homework assignment from this show.
Yeah.
We were going to listen to see or hear, were there any Jared Goff chants? This was the first home game since the Lions lost.
Yes.
And every Red Wing game I've gone to, conceivably, I've heard at least one, if not multiple, Jared Goff chants.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to do the topic earlier in the week, is the chants, are they done now? Let's observe. Let's just see what happens organically. And John, there was not a single Jared Goff chant. And I think we're done with it outside of football season. And people make up their mind by the time we get to the fall, but I think we're done with the other teams improving. The chants kind of already felt out of place anyway. Then he stunk up the joint on Saturday. I think we're done with the chants for now.
Yeah, it's run its course. It doesn't need to happen anymore. Lions season is over. And we can mourn. We can start to look ahead. We can, you know, everybody's at a different spot right now. But for Detroit sports events, let's celebrate what is actually happening. And if there's something that spontaneously happens, because most of them already have their own chants.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go Red Wings or Detroit basketball. Like it's already built into the atmosphere that you're walking into. We don't need the Jared Goff chants. They're a little out of place right now. And honestly, you don't need them. There's only one spot that I think they could be used, and I mentioned it earlier, before the start of the 2025 season. And that would be the NFL draft, which will be in Green Bay,
where the Lions have had lots of success, mm-hmm. where Jared Goff has had big games.
And the Detroit Lions have taken over Lambeau each of the last 2 years. So why not take over the draft? We owned it this year. Obviously, we did because it was in Detroit.
Yeah, but own it next year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Ticket Texter says, people are being ridiculous. It's not even about Goff. It was a Detroit rallying cry. Yes, it makes sense to stop using it for now, but it's not that serious.
I would, it is really not that serious.
No, it's not. I don't think this is like, you know.
People aren't going to get up from their seats at the Wings game or the Pistons games or Tigers games in the spring and leave if people start chanting Jared Goff.
How dare they? Texter says, Jim, it felt like if the chant was like an unwritten ritual attempting to summon a Lions Super Bowl, given the very unique connection between the identity of the team and the city, it failed. The chant is dead.
It's not like it's on hiatus.
Yeah, look, because like Goff, he's not going anywhere.
No, and he was damn good for a lot of this year.
I really think we're missing some perspective. I use the royal we. I think we've been fair, but I think a lot of people are lacking perspective.
The royal we?
Yeah, you've never heard that?
No.
We used kind of like...
Yeah. Yes, the royal we.
It's like an all-encompassing
Sounds
we.
A little, little personal.
You have to use the loo for that.
Yeah.